RNZ Pacific News, kia ora ana, I'm Elisha Foon. Pacific countries are being urged to sign long-standing United Nations conventions to ensure their citizens do not end up stateless. Australian academics have published a report called The Future of Nationality in the Pacific. They want to ensure people who are forced to move because of climate change are not deprived of their citizenship. Refugee law specialist Professor Jane McAdam says signing the 1954 UN Convention on the Status of Stateless Persons and the 1962 Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness would be a good start. She says nations would then need to implement these provisions in their domestic laws.
Ultimately, it's down to individual Pacific countries as to what they choose to do. But our sense is by highlighting where the current risks are, that arms Pacific governments with the tools, with the information and then the tools to start to address some of these concerns.
Papua New Guinea MP Leweka Gure is to take over the leadership of the United Labour Party following the death of Sam Barcel last week in a car crash. Kony Le Guin will be his deputy. Mr. Le Guin is reported in the national newspaper saying the passing of Mr. Basil is a great loss to the party, which he was due to lead into its first election. The party has also announced that one of Mr. Basil's many sons will contest his Bulolo electorate. It says a decision as to which son will stand will be announced after his burial, which is taking place this week. The party has endorsed 61 candidates to contest this July's election. The pro-independence coalition parties of New Caledonia have selected two candidates for the French legislative elections. Wali Wacha from the Palika Party is standing for one electoral district, and Gerald Rainier from Union Caledonian is standing for the other. Speaking with La Première, Ms. Wacha explains what the New Caledonian pro-independence coalition will demand from the French National Assembly.
The ability for New Caledonia to have full sovereignty, the maintenance of New Caledonia on the list of decolonized territories, and a status among the Republic of France.
New Caledonia elects two representatives for the Assembly. The anti-independence parties have selected their candidates. New Zealand's COVID-19 response minister says a decision to scrap pre-departure tests for travellers to New Zealand will be made sooner rather than later. The government last week signalled the requirement would be dropped by the time the international border is fully reopened at the end of July. Chris Hipkins told Parliament's Health Select Committee today he has received public health advice on the requirement.
It is fair to say that the public health advice is that the value of pre-departure testing is not what it was.
Chris Hipkins says the government is unlikely to appeal the High Court's ruling that the MIQ lottery system did not sufficiently allow individual circumstances to be considered and prioritised. He says, though, that a final decision has not yet been made. There are concerns over the welfare of Pacific Island seasonal workers in New Zealand following a Parliament Select Committee review of a submission alleging instances of abuses and neglect by employers. The Green Party has called for reforms to be made to the RSC program. Dennis Magger, the Secretary General of the First Union, says he continues to hear complaints from seasonal workers about their employers.
We're still getting a lot of reports. For example, some employers have been imposing some restrictions that they cannot socialize within their community, and they also implement curfews. They can be subject for penalties, something along that line. We also heard complaints about poor accommodation. The accommodation is not properly looked after.
The Pacifica business community is calling on the New Zealand government to be more transparent when it comes to allocation of funds and grants for businesses. Ahead of the 2022 budget announcement on Thursday, entrepreneur Julius Matupo says those in government need to shine a light on how the funding is spent on Pacific businesses. He says there hasn't been any clear oversight in the past.
As far as outcomes go, being really stringent on, on kind of oversight for outcomes. There is a lot of funding and a lot of grants over when it comes to holding organisations and companies accountable. Oversight's not necessarily a strong point.
Julius Mataupu says in particular there could be a focus on helping small Pacific businesses to use digital tools. The British government has confirmed it's taking steps to rewrite parts of the post-Brexit trade deal with the European Union over Northern Ireland. The Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss, says legislation will be introduced within weeks. The BBC's Jonathan Blake reports.
Liz Truss told MPs the situation in Northern Ireland was so grave that action was necessary to ensure its government and the Assembly could be restored as soon as possible. Legislation would be introduced to make changes to the protocol, which would lessen the burden on trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. The DUP, which has refused to join power-sharing government in protest against the protocol, welcomed the proposal, but the European Commission suggested it would retaliate if the legislation was passed.
Researchers claim global car makers are undermining efforts to reduce emissions and limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. European research group InfluenceMap looked at a dozen car makers and found just two of them, Tesla and Mercedes-Benz, are on track to build enough zero-emissions vehicles to keep pollution down. Research Ben Yurevev says most car makers are investing heavily in SUV production. He says this is a major driver of global transport emissions as it effectively cancels out many emission reductions from an increase in battery electric production. A Venezuelan farmer has been named as the world's oldest man by the Guinness Book of Records. Juan Vicente Perez will be 113 on May the 27th. Born in 1909, he started working in the fields with his brothers and father at age 5. He later became a sheriff, resolving land disputes. He has 82 descendants, including 12 great-grandchildren. Mr. Perez attributes his long life to hard work, a good night's sleep, and a daily glass of brandy. Now to sport. White Ferns and Otago Sparks wicketkeeper Katie Martin has retired after 21 years of top-class cricket. Her 19-year-old international career makes her the longest-serving modern-day New Zealand cricketer, while her 169 domestic one-day games is a New Zealand record for both men and women. She finishes with 119 caps, including 103 ODIs, 95 220s, and one test. New Zealand's Paul Cole says he won't be hampered by a knee injury he picked up during this morning's third round win at the Squash World Championships. World number one Cole is through to Friday morning's quarterfinals thanks to a straight games win over Egypt's Mazin Hisham. Cole says he'll be rearing to go for his last eight match.
That's why I didn't even know I did it, to be honest. It's a brand new floor, so it's nice and grippy. It's got a bit of grit on the surface, so I think, you know, there could be a lot of that this week, just if you lunge, scrape your knee. It's like I said, it's a brand new floor, so it'll take a bit of skin off, but no dramas.
New Zealand's Joel King was defeated in four games by Egypt's Nada Abbas in her third round match. Liverpool kept the Premier League title race alive until the final day of the season after winning 2-1 at Southampton this morning. The result leaves Liverpool a point behind leaders Manchester City ahead of the final round of games. City are at home to Aston Villa at the weekend, while Liverpool hosts Wolves. Victory for City would secure their fourth league title in five seasons. That's RNZ Pacific News and Sport. Find out more of our stories online at rnzi.com.